G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, have a look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You know, even though, hands up if you understand that all of God's promises are yes and amen. It's funny, you know, like sometimes you can hear some people say, well, you know, God answers every prayer, but sometimes his answer is no. That's not what the Bible says. If you pray in line with the word, all of his promises, if you're praying in line with his promise, it says all his promises are yes and amen. He will not say no if he's promised it. But even though his promises are yes and amen, they don't always manifest instantly, do they? Sometimes there's a period of time between amen and there it is. Sometimes you've prayed for healing, but there doesn't seem to be any notable difference. You believe in God to get out of debt, but little seems to be changing with your finances. You're trusting God to bless you at work, but it doesn't seem like anything's happening there. You're in need of extra finances and you just have no idea how it's going to get to you. These things are real and we're faced with them. Hands up if you have experienced more than one thing that you've prayed for that has not come instantly, that's taken some time. Yeah, that's right. Let me clear some things up. If something is the will of God, then God wants you to have it and he doesn't want you to have to wait for it. That's just... I could share so many examples of this, but let's just do one simple example. Look at the ministry of Jesus. All right? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I don't recall anyone having to wait to receive healing. Hey. Instantly. Anybody who wanted it and came to Jesus for it received it. I think the longest it took was maybe the 10 lepers. As they went, they got healed. So that may have been 5-10 minutes at the most, because one of them came running back looking for Jesus. So it couldn't have been like the next day, like, where is he now? You know, he came. But the vast majority of people received theirs instantly. If God had his way, you would get your answer to prayer instantly. So how come we don't get it instantly? Because God doesn't always have his way in your life or in mine. The more you allow him to have his way in your life, the more you will experience speedy recovery. I shared with you so many testimonies of people that I prayed for who received healing, and most of them received it within the space of minutes. But if God had his way, they would have got it instantly. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. They're still learning. You know, when it comes to receiving something, if you go to get prayer from someone to receive something, there are three parties that are involved. There's God, and he's always on. If you're praying in line with his word, he's always saying yes and amen. There is you and your faith, your ability to receive, and there's the minister and their faith and their ability to minister. Now, I'm going to tell you up front, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. God doesn't always have his way in me. I'm trying, I'm working at it, and I'm getting better results than what I used to get from last year, and last year was better than the year before, and so on. But I still at times miss it. And the person receiving is still growing. And so that's why sometimes it doesn't always come instantly. But you need to understand, If God had his way, you would get that answer instantly. Now, I need to qualify that with things like finances or like selling something, like selling your car or real estate or something like that. It can take a couple of days. God will move the moment you pray, but it can take a couple of days for it to manifest because he needs to move things into position in order for all of those things to happen. Hey, but what do you do when you don't get an instant manifestation? You know, how do you stay in that place? You know, like, since most of the time you will not get instant, you will from time to time get instant, and the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. But if most of the time it's not instant, you need to understand that God is more interested in how you journey than he is on getting to the destination. That's so important, hey. I don't want you to miss that. Like, the journey is more important than the destination. I'll give you an example. Asa was a king of Judah. And Asa was being threatened by the northern 10 tribes of Israel. And they actually besieged Judah. And they were going to overthrow it and overrun it. So Asa panicked, and he got all of the gold and the silver, all the precious metals and the jewels, and he sent them via express post to the king of Syria. And he said, dude, I got more where this comes from. If you just come and help me and attack Israel so they get off my back, I'll give you whatever you want. So the king of Syria thought, oh, that's pretty cool. I'll do that. So he attacked Israel. Israel got distracted and forgot about Judah, and Asa got what he desired. He got freedom from that oppression. But see, he got to his destination, but his journey was not the way God wanted it. And a prophet came along and said, you've done the wrong thing. You think it's all done with because that king is now off your back. But you didn't rely on God. You relied on the hand of the Syrian to deliver you. And now wars will plague you for your entire reign. Had you have listened to the Lord and done it his way, he would have taken care of not only Israel, he would have taken care of every other nation that opposes you, and you would have had peace. But now wars will plague you for your entire reign. See, God was more concerned with Asa's journey than his destination. Sometimes people think like, well, as long as I get what I need, that's all right. No. How are you journeying to get what it is that you believe in God for? Because you can scheme and concoct things to manipulate people and to turn things around, to maybe get an answer to prayer in a certain area. But you know, eventually you'll run out of ideas. Eventually you won't know anybody that you can scheme or manipulate enough to get what you want. And so God, you need to understand, God is more concerned with how you journey than it is the destination. Oh, mate, I could talk on that so much because that's such an important point. And I may touch on it as we keep going, hey. And so I want to share with you about how to receive the promise of God. You've been believing God. Maybe it's to get out of debt. Maybe it's the manifestation of a healing. You know, how do you receive the promise of God? It's like you've prayed, you know what the word has to say, but you can't see the manifestation. It could be a new job that you're believing for. It could be a promotion in your current job. Whatever it is, if it's in line with what God has promised and you're believing for it, how do you receive it and how do you journey in it? Hey, and so this is applicable in finances, in healing, in deliverance, in success in your workplace or in your business. So we'll start with the scripture. I'll get Andrew to put it up, but if you've got your Bible open, have a look at Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. It should be after those slides about the sound project. Give me an oi if you're there. So it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We're talking about how to receive the promise of God. And here in these two verses, it gives us three essential things that you need to be aware of if you want to receive the promise of God. Let me read the scriptures again and then we'll go into it in greater detail. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So how do we receive the promise of God? There are three things in this scripture, and I'm going to go through them one at a time, but I'll just draw them to your attention. The first one is there in verse 35. It says, don't cast away your confidence. The second one is in verse 36. You have need of endurance. And then the third one is also in verse 36. Once you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise. So don't throw away your confidence. Have some patience and do the will of God. Those three things will enable you to receive the promise of God. Hey, so we're going to go through those one at a time. Hey, so the first one is don't cast away your confidence. Hey, in the New Living Translation says, don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. The NIV says, do not throw away your confidence. The Bible in basic English says, don't give up your hope. The Contemporary English Version says, keep on being brave. The Message says, don't throw it all away now. And the Good News Bible says, don't lose your courage. If you want to receive the promise of God, you need to be in a position where you are refusing to let go of your confidence. That word confidence in the New King James is a Greek word, and it's parousia. Is that right? Parousia. And I've got the Greek think tank amongst us here. These are Greek scholars, and so I'm on my best behavior. Hey. Anyway, so yeah, and it's this Greek word. It means outspokenness. It means confidence, but it also means outspokenness. Do not cast away your outspokenness. Also, it means boldness of speech. Therefore, do not cast away your boldness of speech, which has great reward. If you want to receive the promise of God, there needs to be a confidence, an outspokenness, a boldness of speech. It's something that you're not willing to let go of. No matter how dire it looks, no matter how ridiculous it may seem, no matter what the economists have said, no matter what the rumors are at work, no matter what your family is saying to you, that you are outspoken when it comes to what God has promised you. That you are bold in your declaration with what God has said to you. And it's so important. Let me give you some examples of where this appears in the scriptures, this word parousia, this outspokenness or this confidence. If you're a note taker, you can write these down. We're not going to look it up. I'll just read them out to you. But in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, now when the Pharisees saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. That's that same word, parousia. When the Pharisees saw their outspokenness, when the Pharisees saw the boldness of their speech, even though they'd been arrested, they were surrounded by armed guards. They'd been stripped of their rights. Yet they were boldly declaring the things of God. And the Pharisees were marveling like, man, these guys are uneducated. These guys don't know. They're just like fishermen. Like, how is it they're just speaking and meeting our gaze and not begging for their life? Then later in Acts chapter 4 verse 31 it says, and when the disciples had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Same word, parousia. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with confidence. If you want to receive the promise of God, don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your outspokenness. Don't throw away your boldness of speech. It takes faith to make a declaration. Hey, don't make a declaration that you don't believe. Maybe you're believing for something and it's like, oh man, what will people think if I say something? Don't say anything. Because if you say something in a situation like that, you're saying it out of fear rather than faith. When you're outspoken and you're bold in your speech, it's because you believe what you say is true. So what if you're in a situation where it's like you're hoping that it'll come to pass, but you're not sure if it is going to. You can see it in the Word, but you're just still scared, like, oh, people will laugh at me if I say something. It just means you haven't spent enough time with the Word. Let that promise be before your eyes. Meditate on it. Ask yourself, what would it feel like if this came to pass in my life? What would it look like? Harness your imagination and see those things. God gave you an imagination to use. Use your imagination and picture. Look at that promise God's given you and picture, what would it look like if this came to pass? And just luxuriate in your imagination, like, wow, that's awesome. God, I just see it. My whole family, all worshiping you. I see myself moving freely without any pain. I see myself free from debt. Whatever it is, let that promise of God paint the picture. Then, as confidence begins to grow, start being outspoken. Start being bold in your declaration. It can start off with people that maybe you trust that are close to you. Guess what? I just read the other day, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Start sharing. Be bold with those around you that you trust. You'll find that as you do that and you meditate and you allow your imagination, that boldness will just begin to grow and grow and grow. And soon there's joy and faith that's just, and peace that's overflowing. They're telltale signs. Joy and peace are telltale signs that your faith is now primed. You've got faith, it's just that you're learning how to let it flow. Hey, and then soon it's like you just can't shut up. You just want people to know. You're just going to tell anyone. You don't care what they have to think. You are now confident. And this scripture says, don't throw it away. Don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away that boldness of speech. Don't throw away your outspokenness. Stir yourself up. Stay in that place and be outspoken. Make the declarations. You know, from God's perspective, there's something really attractive about a believer that is confidently declaring what God has promised them when there's no evidence that it's anywhere around. Anthony and I were just fellowshipping just the other day, and we were talking about this concept. Hands up if you like breakthrough. Oh, I love breakthrough. Hey, breakthrough. Like when you've got that answer to prayer and it's like awesome and stuff. Do you know that's not when God gets excited? If there's a place where God gets excited, I believe he was excited from the foundation of the earth because he planned it all out. But he doesn't get excited at the manifestation. He gets excited on the journey. Because it's on the journey you need faith. You don't need faith when the thing is manifested. You don't need faith when the healings come. You don't need faith when that $10,000 has been put in your hands and you think, I'm debt free. Or that $100,000 or $500,000, whatever it is. You don't need faith then. You need faith when there's no evidence anywhere. You can't see it. It appears highly unlikely in the natural that it's ever going to happen. And yet you're still outspoken and you're saying, I trust God. He has told me, he's given me his word right here. This is what he said. That's the truth and that's what's going to happen. That's when God gets excited. There's something tremendously attractive to God when a believer stands up and is outspoken about what God has showed them, even though there's no evidence. That's when you really draw the favor of God in your life, hey? In a great way. And this principle is right through scriptures. Like even in Deuteronomy in chapter 20, when the armies of Israel assembled to go out to battle, what the final thing that the commanders would yell out is they would say, right, anybody who is scared or worried about the battle that we're about to go into, pack your bags and go home. That was the last thing that they would say before they would march off to battle. And they would tell them, because they would say to them, listen, we don't want you infecting anybody else with your fear. So if you're scared, just be honest with it. If you're scared, go. God can do more with a small group of believers than he can with a large gathering of scaredy cats. Hey. And that talks about this boldness, this confidence. We need to have a confidence. And I've shared with you how you can develop that confidence in your life. Let that promise of God grow in you. Spend time with God. Let it build the picture, you know. Your imagination was given to you by God, not just to look at porn. Well, you shouldn't be looking at porn, full stop. Not just to look. No, I strike that. It wasn't given for those that sort of thing. The devil wants you to get into that. You know, and like porn is something that I think for a lot of guys, it's a problem. And if you don't address it, it'll become a bigger and bigger problem. Now, girls also, the enemy uses, I believe there's a lot of literature because girls are emotionally wired. And so they'll read things about the experiences of others, and through that, it gets into their imagination. They read things that are ungodly. But understand what the enemy's tactic is. Whether it's through porn or through literature, he wants to disable your imagination. Jesus said, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? What's God's number one priority? He said, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And that word mind is the word dianoia. It was not translated properly. It literally means imagination. God's greatest priority is you love him with all your heart, that's your spirit, with all your soul, with all your strength, that's your body, and with all your imagination. Use your imagination. God wants you to. Picture yourself succeeding. Let the promise of God grow until you can see it and confidence grows up with it. Something very attractive in God's eyes when people stand and are outspoken because of what God has promised them. Hey, don't throw away your outspokenness. Why? Well, the Bible says because it has great reward. It says it there in verse 35. Don't cast away your confidence. It has great reward. I want you to understand this is not self-confidence. I've kind of touched a little bit on this before. This is not just having a sense of bravado. It's not having confidence in some system that you've set up, some procedure or protocol. You know, like there are systems that you can set up for yourself, and I'm not trying to criticize. It's not like you should just be chaotic in your life. I have good habits that I've set up and that I do things. I like with my finances, I have a lot of order in my finances. And so I have an account where I put money aside to sow. I have another account which I set aside money for bills. God has I don't want to go into it, but God has just blessed me. There is not a single bill ever that comes in. And this has been it's been gradually improving, but now it's just at a stage where when a bill comes in, I just pay it. There's just no bill that overtakes. And I'm in a position where even if something unexpected happens, I've got finances. I have a reserve account where I have finances in there that I can cover anything. You know, whether it's a couple of grand, I've got it. So I have order. But it's not the order that I put my faith in. It's Jesus. He's the source of my confidence. Hey. Now, he's shown me how to bring my finances into order. And as I've done that, I've increased exponentially. It's been an awesome ride. But like, it's your confidence comes from him. And he'll show you what to do. Don't put your faith in the system. Put your faith in the person. And so you're not trying to pretend. You're not trying to like pretend like it's so in the hope that maybe it'll become so. No, let it grow. Let that promise grow. Let it grow, let it grow, let it grow until you can't see anything else except that promise being fulfilled. And then it just affects your life, hey? Number two, You want to receive the promise of God, you need to learn to be patient. It says that in verse 36. You have need of endurance. The New International Version says you need to persevere. The Message says you need to stick it out. The Contemporary English Version says learn to be patient. This word patience or endurance is, now I'm going to have a shot, hypomone. Is that right? Oh, yes. Hypomone. It's the Greek word hypomone, and it means a steadfastness, a constancy, an endurance, an unswerving commitment to a cause. See, it's not enough just to not cast away your confidence and your outspokenness, but you need to learn to be unswerving in your commitment. Hypomone. This word describes a person who's unmoved in his dedication. He's unmoved in his purpose. Really, this word is it describes the characteristic of a person whose loyalty to the kingdom just doesn't shake, regardless of what's happening around them. Even when it just seems like they're going through the greatest of trials and sufferings. This is not, like when we talk about patience or endurance, and this is translated as patience and endurance, this, when we talk about patience and endurance, a lot of people think that to be patient is just like, well, just hang on, get it over with. So that's how Joy used to handle the checkout lines in the supermarkets. We'd go to the checkout lines and she'd go, pick one, because there's lines, just everybody lining up. She goes, pick one. And I go, I don't care. She goes, no, pick one. And I go, you pick one. I'm not going to pick one, because I know what's going to happen. She goes, no, just pick one. And I go, all right, well, this one, because it was the closest one. So we stand there and then the other lines start moving and she looks at me and she goes, you had to pick this one, didn't you? See, for her, patience was just like, oh, how much longer? That's not what this word is. When it says patience or endurance, it's not like, oh, get it over with. I'm just hanging on. No, this is not a passive resignation to fate. This is an active and an energetic resistance to defeat. When it says you have need of endurance, it literally means you need to be actively resisting defeat. It's not like, oh man, put your helmet on, put your seatbelt on, and let's hope we make it. No way. You're like, yeah, bring it, brother. Bring it. I'm ready, hey. I ain't moving. You're going to have to flow around me if you're coming this way, because I ain't moving. It's an active, energetic resistance to defeat. Hypomone. Let me give you some examples of where this is used. In Matthew 24:13, Jesus said, he that endures, everyone say endures. Endure. He that endures to the end shall be saved. And it's that word, endure, is hypomone. He that actively resists defeat to the end will be saved. Not like he that holds on with bare white knuckles. Jesus isn't coming back to a church who have their tails between their legs saying, I'm glad you came, hey, there's smoke all over me. I could feel the fires of hell just about at my feet. No way. He's coming back to a church who are filled with the glory of God. Who are looking the devil in the eye and say, bring it. Bring it, mate. You want a second? I've got seconds for you. I'll walk towards you. I'll make it quicker. Hey. That's what Jesus is coming back for, hey. And this word hypomone, that's what it means, an active, energetic resistance. He that actively and energetically resists defeat will be saved. It's interesting, in the parable of the sower, this same word hypomone appears. In Luke 8:15, Jesus said, the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, they keep the word and they bear fruit with patience, hypomone. They bear fruit with active, energetic resistance to defeat. How do you receive the promise of God? You learn to be patient. You learn to be actively, energetically resisting defeat. This is where, you know, like, this is where just most Christians fail, is in this area. They don't resist defeat. They live by sight. They live by what their body is saying, by what their feelings, their emotions. Who cares what your emotions say? You know, the Holy Spirit said to me one day, he said, this is an emotionally overweight generation. People are just too tuned in to what they're feeling. Oh, you know, I just don't feel like doing anything today, so I'm just not going to. Man, you ought to deliberately do something to serve God on a day like that. Hey, I remember in my young days of being a Christian, if my flesh, I would have times of prayer and fasting. This is important, you know, like as believers, you should be practicing prayer and fasting. I don't preach a whole message on it because no one will ever listen to it. So I just kind of slip it in as part of something else. Hey? Jesus didn't, you know, like Jesus, when he talked about his followers, he talked about that they would pray and fast. There would be prayer and fasting. That should be a part of your lifestyle, hey? Some people don't like, well, I mean, anyway, I can get on to, I won't, I'll just stick back. But I remember as a young believer, I would have times I would set aside to pray and to fast. And if my flesh objected to it, and your flesh will, hey, I would lengthen it. I'd go, shut up, flesh. You think you were going to die? I've just extended it by another day. You got it. You have to teach your spirit, or you have to teach your flesh to submit to your spirit. How can you walk in the spirit if you're just allowing your flesh to rule? And fasting is an awesome way to get your flesh to submit to your spirit. Because your flesh will scream, dude, we're dying. And it's like you've just eaten, you know. Oh, anyway, there's a lot I could share, but I will share some more maybe another time. But let's keep going. Christians fail because they just rely on their feelings. Hey, instead of this active, energetic resistance to defeat, they are falling on the floor and curling up in the fetal position and sucking their thumbs because they can't see anything is changing. You know, it's when you can't see anything, that's when we find out what you believe. Hey, you don't need faith when it's there. You need faith when it's not there. And it's when it's not there and it just looks ridiculous, that's when we find out what's really in your heart. And what? And yet so many Christians, they don't resist defeat, hey? Unless the victory manifests immediately, they're just falling apart, hey? It's like, it reminds me of what Jesus talked about, the seed that fell amongst the rocks, and immediately they sprang up, but then when the sun came out, they got scorched, and because they didn't have any root, they withered away. And Jesus said, those ones that fell among the rocks are people who hear the word, and they receive it with great joy, with great enthusiasm. But the moment opposition comes, the moment pressure comes, and it will come, you decide you're going to follow Jesus, you will have pressure to do the opposite. You will have opposition. All of a sudden, there's 10,000 reasons why you can't make it to church, or why you can't read your word, or why you can't do what God's called you to do. You will experience that. And Jesus said, the ones who don't have any root, when that pressure comes, or when that opposition comes, that's when they wither away. If you want to receive the promises of God, you need to learn to be actively resisting defeat. Now, I could share I'll share one example of this. It was just, it's a long story, so I'm going to try to condense it down. When I was a chaplain, I was working at the school, I had this old Xbox 360. Well, I guess back then it wasn't tremendously old. It was something, it had just, there was a new Xbox that had come out. I had an old Xbox, the original Xbox, and the 360s had just come out. But anyway, I had this old Xbox, and I used to have students come in just at lunchtimes or morning tea and play on it and stuff like that. And it's a long story, but there was this guy that had misunderstood a certain situation, and he thought that I was selling the Xbox, and so he offered, he thought I was auctioning the Xbox off, and I wasn't. I was just mucking around, and some students were kind of mucking around with me, and they said, oh, I'll give you $10, and somebody said, oh, I'll give you $15. Anyway, this guy walked in, and he was an adult. He was actually doing his internship with me, and he heard this auction and realized it was for the Xbox, but he thought it was real, and they were just mucking around. So he goes, 20. And so some other guy goes, oh, 22. And he goes, 25. And anyway, then the students realized he thought it was serious, so they shut up. And he goes, I win. He goes, can I have that Xbox for 25? And I go, and I was going to say we were mucking around, but I felt like the Lord was saying, give it. And I said, yep. And he said, serious? He goes, how many controllers? I go, how many would you like? He goes, two. I go, yep, you can have that. So anyway, so the next day he came, and God already showed me that I was going to give it to him for free. I was going to sell it. So he came, and he said, here's that 25. And he put it in my hand, and I said, yep, take the Xbox. And I said, now put out your hand. And he put it out, and I put the money back in his hand. And he said, what are you doing? He said, that's for the Xbox. Oh, no. I said, I know, you've paid me for it. I said, I want to sell this, didn't you? And so anyway, so I let him go and stuff. So I didn't have an Xbox, but within a couple of weeks, God actually gave me two Xboxes. So then I was able to sew one of those and keep one. And then a few weeks after that, it was just morning tea, and I was just hanging around. There were probably about 20 students in my office, and we were just all chatting, and suddenly the word of Lord rose up from within my spirit. And I heard these words. He said, I'm going to give you a brand new large screen plasma TV. And I heard it so clearly, I got so excited. I said, hey, everybody, guess what? What? Guess what? I got everybody's attention. And they said, what? And I said, God just told me he's going to get me a brand new plasma TV. And the whole room was silent. Like, most of them were non-Christians. And then I realized what I just said. I thought, uh-oh. These guys. And somebody said, who? And I thought, oh, how am I going to explain this? So I said, God told me he's going to get me a brand new plasma TV. And then I heard somebody lean over to their friend and go, who's going to get it? Because they didn't understand. And I said, look. I said, I realize you guys probably don't understand. I said, God told me, okay? I said, long story. I said, but God told me he's going to get me. And so somebody goes, right. And how's he going to do that? I just think, oh. I said, don't worry about it. Anyway, it was time for them to go. So I said, off you go. Go to class. And now I'm thinking like, man, I hope I'm right. I thought, what did I do that for? Like, because it was so clear and I knew it wasn't me. I just instinctively just wanted to tell everybody. And then now when everybody's gone, I'm thinking, God, what if that wasn't you? I thought, oh, man, Lord, I need to know if that was you or not, because if it wasn't, I have misrepresented you. And I don't know how I'm going to straighten this out. And I prayed about it, and he showed me. He said, no. He said, it was me. He said, do you remember that Xbox that you sowed and that money? He said, your harvest is a brand new TV. And I said, well, what sort of plasma TV? And he said, what sort you want? So I wrote it down. You know, back then, the 42-inch was the big ones. So I said, I want 42-inch. I'm waiting for him to object, and there's no objection. I want a Panasonic. I want the best brand. Because I don't want cheap. I don't want anybody to say God's a skinflint and he just got me some no brand. I want Panasonic, and I want the full high definition. And I just wrote all these things down, and I'm sort of thinking, is this all right? He said, that's what you want. That's what you get. And I just started telling. I started declaring. I'm talking to you about how to receive the promise of God. I started allowing. He showed me some scriptures that I could use. They grew in my imagination. One of the scriptures, I remember, because the devil just attacked me so bad in this area, hey. He just started putting these thoughts, dude, this is just wrong. You shouldn't be believing for a plasma TV. Think about the poor. Think about the sick. You know, you could be doing stuff with money for that. And like, have you ever heard of a chaplain having like a big screen TV in their office? Most chaplains don't even have an office. My office was bigger than the principal's office. I was just so blessed. And like, all these thoughts are going through my mind, and actually, I came to a place where I knew I was at a crossroads, that I wouldn't be able to receive it unless I got this. So I said, God, you've got to show me in the Word. I said, I'm really struggling with this. I don't know if I can justify it. People are probably going to say to me, like, you're a chaplain. You should have used those funds for something else. And the Lord spoke to me. And he took me to 3 John verse 2. He said, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And then he said to me, he said, would it be prospering if you had a big screen TV in your office? And I said, yes, it would be. And he said, secondly, he said, I didn't ask you to save up for it. I said, I'm going to get it for you. So if people have a problem with me giving you a plasma TV, you tell them to talk to me, because I'm the one who's going to get it to you. So that, as far as I was concerned, that locked it in. I had a word from God. I just allowed that to grow in my imagination. I just pictured myself. I'd get students coming in there, and I go, now, they go, oh, what are you doing, Les? I go, I'm just looking, which wall should I put my TV? They go, you got a TV? I go, yeah, God's going to get me a big screen TV. I go, which wall should I put it on? And we're talking. And soon it just became the talk. Like, the students that were just regulars in my office or that knew me, they just began, especially, there's so many of the non-Christians, they just knew, oh yeah, God's going to get him. They just began to agree with me. They just got past arguing about it. One day I was walking through down the walkway, and I was talking to some students, and some of them I knew and some I didn't. And they said, what have you been up to? And I said, man, I'm just finalizing where I'm going to put my big screen TV. What was I doing? I was just being outspoken. I wasn't casting away my confidence. It just grew so much in me. I was just so excited. I couldn't stop talking about it. They go, oh, you're getting a TV? I go, oh, I'm getting a big screen TV, mate. Panasonic, 42-inch. They go, well, where are you getting that from? I said, God's going to get it. And so the kids, the students that didn't know me, they'd go, who? And the students, like, I remember this one time, there were several non-Christian students who knew it, and they go, God's going to get it to him, retard, didn't you hear him? So they're just agreeing with me, hey. Anyway, long story short, we ended up getting this brand new. Didn't have to pay a cent for it, hey. I had a supporter call me, and he said, hey, there's a dinner that you've invited me to. He said, I can't make it. He said, but I want to put some money in. And I said, well, okay. I said, you can put it in two places. You can put it straight into the chaplaincy account, or you can put it into special projects. And he often put money in for special projects and stuff. And he goes, well, what's the special project at the moment? And I told him. He said, how much is it? So I told him how much it was, and there was silence on the phone. And then he said, just go. Go get it. He said, I'm transferring money now. And so it was all... And then, like, it wasn't just the TV that I got. Like, within days of me putting up the TV on the wall, one of the staff members at the school who hated me, who just despised me and would often misrepresent me to the principal, went to the principal's office and said, we need to get the chaplain a brand new computer console. There's these Nintendo Wiis that have come out. We ought to get the chaplain one of them and some controllers and some games. One of my enemies. So within a couple of days, I got a brand new Nintendo Wii with controllers and games. And then I remember I was talking with Joel when I was home, and I said, you know, God's got me a brand new TV and he's got me a Nintendo Wii. Yeah, if I asked God, I reckon he'd get me a brand new Xbox as well. Later that afternoon, I went and picked Micah up from work. He goes, I just can't shake it. He said, God just keeps telling me I've got to give you my Xbox. I had the new model, the 360, that he gave to me. It's just like, I'm just trying to illustrate, you get outspoken. As you dwell on that promise of God, you become bold in your speech, and it's just like you just can't help talking about it because you see it so clearly. You refuse to allow defeat to enter in. You actively, energetically resist defeat. And the final one, there in verse 36, it says, you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. If you want to receive the promise of God, you don't cast away your confidence. You learn to actively and energetically resist defeat. And the third one is you do the will of God. The New Living Translation says continue to do God's will. The Message says stay with God's plan. The Bible in basic English says, do what's right in God's eyes. You know, like, so many people get obsessed believing God for their healing that that's all they can think about is their healing. Or so many people get obsessed with believing God for that promotion that that's all they can think about. Now, I think you should fill your heart and your mind with the answer to that, but be open to do the things that you know God's already told you to do. Do the will of God in every area. Yet so many Christians, it's like life gets put on hold until, God, you answer this prayer. That's wrong. This scripture says after you've done God's will, you receive the promise. Do the things he's shown you to do. Has he been talking to you about investing time in the Word? Do it. Has he been talking to you about being a friendly face to that person who's not popular? Do it. Has he been talking to you about forgiving and extending mercy to those people who are nasty to you? Do it. Do the will of God. After you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise. But the mistake we make is like, God, I'm asking you about healing. I don't care about unforgiveness. Just give me my healing. Have you ever thought that maybe the thing he's talking to you about is the very key to bring the thing that you're desiring into your life? There's a classic case that Micah went through a few years ago. I think it was about year 12. And he got this infection on his knee and started to pus up. And so he came to Joy and I and he said, oh, he said, it's starting to hurt. You know, it's like really sore. We could see it was red around. So we laid hands on him, we cursed it, we commanded to die and be gone. And within a couple of days, it went right down. And then about a week later, it came back again. It flared up again. So we thought, well, there's something else going on. So anyway, so we took him to the doctors. The doctor looked at it and said, oh, yeah, it's infected. We go, yeah, we know. And he said, I'll give you some antibiotics. So he gave him some antibiotics. He took the course of antibiotics. It went down and disappeared. A week after he finished the antibiotics, it came back up. So we took him back to the doctors. And the doctor said, well, obviously we didn't give you a big enough course. So he gave him a bigger course of antibiotics. Again, he took it. It went down. About a week after he finished taking the antibiotics, it came back up. So now by this time, my lightning fast mind's joining the dots. And I'm realizing, like, okay, there's something deeper here. There's something that's causing it. You know, if you fix it at the root, it won't bear the fruit. Is that right? If your car warning light goes on, the answer isn't get a hammer and smash the warning light. That's just a symptom of a deeper cause. Hey, and we realize that infection was a symptom of a deeper infection. Something else is going on. So I went and I prayed, and God showed me another student at school. So I went to Micah and I said, tell me what's going on with you and so-and-so. And he said, nothing. And I said, well, why is this person coming up when I pray? And he said, well, nothing's going on. And I said, well, I said, you need to talk to God. I said, because I keep seeing this person. And I suspect that it has something to do with this infection. Anyway, he fessed up later and he was harboring unforgiveness. This person had really let him down and he felt really hurt. And you know, this person was in the wrong, and he was rightfully feeling hurt. But he had allowed that to turn into unforgiveness. That was the infection. And so I said, well, you need to sort this out with this person. You need to forgive them in your heart, and you need to sort it out. And so he did. And within a few days of him doing that, that thing left without any prayer. Hey. If you want to receive the promise of God, you need to do the will of God. Don't be selective in your hearing. If God is talking to you about forgiving someone, if God is talking to you about sowing some seed, if God is talking to you about reading a certain portion of the Word, don't say, well, what's that got to do with what I asked you? Just do what he showed you to do and be faithful in doing those things. Don't drop your bundle and say, until you answer my prayer, God, I'm doing nothing else. Do the will of God, because after you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand up. Praise God. This is so exciting. This is, you know, like God, he makes it so simple for us. These things aren't always easy, but remember and understand, it's the journey. These things will help you on your journey. Hey, in believing God for breakthrough in your life. Hey, learn to be patient. Don't cast away your confidence and do the will of God. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in the Spirit for a moment. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I don't think I'd really need to call for a response. I mean, I think it's all there in those two verses. The three things that you can implement in your life to make your journey a journey of faith, hey, where you are refusing to cast away your confidence. You're learning to be patient, and you're remembering that learning to be patient is actively and energetically resisting defeat. And do the things that you know God's already spoken to you about. Be diligent, faithful in doing those things. So repeat after me. Hey, we're going to make a faith declaration. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And I receive today revelation from your word. And I declare that I'm a doer of your word and not just a hearer. I choose to put your word into practice. I choose to remain confident, to be outspoken, to have boldness of speech. I choose to resist defeat and to be patient. And I choose to do all those things that you tell me to do in Jesus' name. And I thank you that as I do, I receive your promises in Jesus' name. Now give him thanks and praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.